started in here.
FM. Good morning. It is Thursday, March 4th, 2021, and this is Justice and Drew. My name is Drew. That man over there, his name is John Justice.
We got a banger of a show today.
That lovely lady in there, her name is Sam.
Hello.
We do have a banger of a show today.
It's not used often enough.
You have the banger part. I got the mash part. I'll handle the mash. Banger?
I got you.
That could be the name of the morning show. Instead of Justice and Drew, Bangers and Mash.
If there is not a British morning show called Bangers and Mash,
then I think we need to move.
We need to corner the market.
I think, yeah, we need to snag that now.
I don't consider it
trademarked.
I don't want to say we failed as a society, because quite honestly, I think we've already failed as a society, so we've just failed even further.
It's a pretty significant symptom, I would say.
It is already a radio show.
What? You Googled it?
I did. It's on BBC Radio.
Tell us all about Bangers and Mash, the radio show, Sam.
Well, it is a radio comedy series, actually, it says.
I bet it's been around, like, forever. Right? It has to have been around for 95 years.
It's actually super old, so it's from 1999.
Yeah.
And
that's
super old,
Drew.
That's super old.
Super old.
It's ancient.
For a radio show.
Do you even have radio then?
It's an old show.
Yeah.
So old. The Phantom Menace came out that year. Such an old show.
That was when radio was still in black and white.
It's true. Yeah. It's so old. You had to listen to it with, you know, Dixie cups and string.
Oh, there's actually another Bangers and Mash radio as well, because I found a Facebook page for one where it says, get your groove on every fortnight, Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m., when they lay down funky beats and disco treats on the wheels of steel.
Funky beats and disco treats.
Oh, my goodness.
I want that in a show promo.
Yeah, I'm writing that up right now.
Funky beats and disco treats.
Wow. that's incredible.
I love that.
All right. Our guests this morning are neither funky beats or disco treats. Katie Pavlich will be joining us at 8:35 this morning.
She could rock a disco look. You know,
she for sure could.
I think we're both going bell bottoms. Yeah, I think she could. She can get the hair up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we'll talk to her about.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that horrible voting reform that passed the House, and we'll discuss, you know, potential disco looks for Katie Pavlich at 8:35 this morning.
Might as well. The rest of the world's going to hell.
We'll talk with.
Just talk disco on that
one. Bring the disco back.
That is accurate, Drew. I'm not going to argue with you. We will talk to Jesse Kelly from the free state of Jesse Kelly. That would be Texas. We will. It's funny. It worked out well. Jesse Kelly had tweeted yesterday that, you know, make no mistake, there will be another thing when and if we ever get out of COVID. Drew, I think you came upon the other thing. It still is COVID related, but we'll talk to Jesse Kelly about how there are idiots out there saying, you know, hey, we need to lock down. You know, for the next decade, every 2 years, like we did during COVID, to stop global warming and climate change.
Oh my gosh,
that's going to be the next.
Yep.
It's going to be the next trend.
Yeah,
the climate Nazis, you know, have shown up and they've said, well, the climate impact of this lockdown, if we do this 10 more times, then we might be able to get close to the Paris Accords.
Can you even fathom?
Yes, I can, because there's a lot of people that like this. There's a lot of people that openly will tell you that they like this. They like minimal activity and minimal business and keeping things just under control.
Good, then they can continue to do that.
Oh, no, 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 that's not the part they like.
No,
they like the part where they get to force other people to do it.
I know, I know.
That makes them so happy.
Yeah, they all feel like they belong to an HOA now.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Dorf from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus will join us at 6:55 this morning. We're going to talk about, in the wake of the Alina shooting in Buffalo, police chiefs are being asked for more discrimination when it comes to gun sales. We'll get his thoughts on that, and we'll dive back into a bit of the fusion, Governor Tim Walz's Fusion Center. And we actually have a listener of the show that was a part of the Fusion Center.
Yeah, really interesting perspective that they shared with us via email, and we'll read that email to you after we chat with Rob Dorr.
Also, want to mention that starting next week, you will not miss a moment or any details coming out of the trial next week. We are lining up daily experts, those that are actually going to be in the courtroom during the Derek Chauvin trial. Mm-hmm. So you can keep it right here on Justice and Drew starting on Monday, and you will not miss anything coming out of the trial as it cranks up starting on Monday.
We'll have daily updates. We've got some great correspondence lined up, finalizing some details with a few people here and there. Really looking forward to the cover, not the trial itself.
No.
But the coverage we're going to be able to provide you.
Yeah, that part of it.
Yeah.
Very informative.
Yeah, the rest of the part.
I'm just praying. That's just all the prayers.
Sam's top five coming up next. Stick around.
Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew, along with Sam. You can listen on your smart speakers at home. Also on the iHeart Radio app. Never miss a moment of the show. Catch up on the podcast as well. I heard, speaking of smart speakers, I guess it was obvious, but I had never heard this before. And then once, it was one of those things where I was like, oh, that makes all the sense in the world. So when Jeff Bezos, right, from Amazon, when he came up, you know, with the smart speaker, he said, and it made all the sense, he said he modeled it after science fiction films and science fiction TV shows. Because he says every time, like in the future, you would always have, you know, it says, computer, mm-hmm. blah, 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 calculating, you know, this kind of thing. Right. And so he's like, yeah, so my idea was I modeled it after, so that's why you get the OK Google and, you know, hey, Alexa, or, you know, Alexa and whatnot. So I was like, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea.
Think about how much money he's made off of something that he saw in a movie and was like, oh. I'm gonna take that idea.
There's that great moment in Galaxy Quest with Sigourney Weaver where she keeps repeating the lines and all that. You keep just saying what the computer is saying. She's like, I have one job and I'm gonna do it, okay? So great.
Let's jump into Sam's top five for a Thursday.
Number one.
SpaceX launched a prototype of its Starship next generation vehicle yesterday, landing it safely, only to have the vehicle explode minutes later.
This was awesome.
Speaking of spaceships,
this was so cool.
So I'm all into it, but Logan's all into it. He'll watch the live feed of Starship sitting there on the launch pad because they have like a huge window every time they do one launch a month. So they usually have like this huge window of like 9 a.m. to like 6 p.m. that they can go and launch from. And he'll have like one channel, like NASA space, whatever, with these three guys to just commentate on just a live shot of just it sitting there. And he'll watch it and listen to the guys all day long. So they were they were going to launch yesterday afternoon. It ticked down to like 0.1. And Starship itself, the engines fired and Starship aborted. Like the computer system of Starship aborted the launch. So there's a whole cycle that they have to go through to get this thing to fly every time. And so it turns out that they did the analysis and they were like, we're going to try again.
Yeah.
So I was texting Drew when they went to go launch and they actually touched down, man, and I cheered.
It was really cool. So, you know, this is historic and nobody's ever been able to accomplish what SpaceX was able to accomplish yesterday. And this was their fourth attempt.
Fourth or fifth attempt.
Yeah, where they go up and they tilt the craft and they get it back perpendicular again, and they stuck the landing, and it was amazing to watch.
From Space News, on the two previous Starship test flights, SpaceX had problems reigniting two Raptor engines needed for a powered landing after flipping back to a vertical orientation. The vehicle touched down on the pad softly rather than crash and explode about 6 minutes and 20 seconds after liftoff. Video showed that the vehicle was leaning slightly, but otherwise appeared intact initially. SpaceX did terminate the webcast at that point, but independent webcasts showed that about 8 minutes after landing, there was an explosion at the base of the vehicle.
Yeah, there was.
The explosion
flung the vehicle. Very impressive one.
It's a big explosion. It flung the vehicle into the air, crashing back down onto the pad several seconds later.
Yeah. John had texted me. Somebody had tweeted, and it was really funny. He was like, oh, it's the first spaceship to take off twice. Because it did. It looked, for a brief second, it looked like a takeoff. You had the massive explosion right at the bottom, and the rocket shot straight up, but then it just collapsed and exploded.
So I think we've watched every single one of these, and poor Logan was out working at the time. He called Melinda. I think he pulled over to watch while he was out and about and was cheering and was all happy. I texted him later on that it blew up, and he texted me back, no! But we watched it, and we kept it on. We kept it on the feed because I was enjoying some of the commentary. Because as Drew said, it is historic. I mean, this is the first, you know, this is that first step towards when we have, you know, when we have the ability to kind of go back and forth as much as we want. Spaceships.
Yeah, spaceships.
You know, the space shuttle doesn't count. The space shuttle was an orbiter and, you know, was still using, you know, sort of, you know, plane dynamics to get it back and forth. And you have to attach booster rockets and all that. This is the first step towards having a single craft that can continue to go up and down. So we're watching and we had the feed going and the commentators, the guy had like just finished saying, he's like, yeah, I'm a little concerned that the thing is still burning there. They're trying to put that fire out. Because if that's methane, then that's not. And then, boom, the thing blows. And I was like, well, there you go, dude.
Smart observation from that guy.
No, it was pretty cool. It's funny, though. They've got a whole bunch of them all lined up. I mean, they're just.
Yeah.
Elon Musk just burns through his cash, and it's awesome.
It is awesome. And it's awesome that it exploded.
Yeah.
Because that decreases the likelihood that it will explode when somebody's on it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what this whole process is about. It's about failing. It's about trying and failing, and getting data, gathering data, learning from each one of those failures. So next time, whatever caused this rocket to explode, it's probably the last time that will cause a rocket to explode.
Well, to go a little deeper on this whole thing, there should be a lot more attention on this,
and
a lot more focus on what SpaceX is doing, and not just SpaceX, but other parts of life as well. The celebratory aspect and the triumph of the human spirit. I mean, and that's we'll talk about this later on, Drew. You found a lengthy piece out of the Atlantic and chopped it down to kind of boil it down to its essence. But one of the broader points it's trying to make is that we should be in a place of celebration right now with this vaccine, and we're not. As a society, we're not at a place of celebration. What was the polio vaccine? When the polio vaccine was introduced, kids were let out of school to go celebrate. Mm-hmm. Everybody was cheering, and we all kind of collectively came together as a society to mark in combined celebration the fact that, hey, we've got an answer to this. We can move on. And no, man, we're still being told. Biden's still telling us to wash our hands with hot water. We're not out of the woods yet with this whole thing. It's unbelievable. We should be celebrating the American spirit.
Number two.
Wall says that Minnesota will significantly beat the timeline for vaccines.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
I don't care.
We're going to be winners.
And it's he's talking about beating his own timeline. Like, not so he set a timeline.
Yeah, it's his original timeline.
Yeah, so your first timeline sucked, Tim.
Yeah.
How's that? We'll spin it that way.
And I don't care about timelines. I care about ending this. If that timeline includes when you're giving up your emergency powers, great. If that timeline includes dropping the mask mandate, awesome. If the timeline includes opening up capacity for all the businesses that continue to suffer, fantastic. Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
From Fox 9, Walls opened a box of 4,900 J&J doses at a Fairview facility.
I'm looking at the clock. I'm going to bite my tongue.
No, you tweeted out He tweeted about it yesterday. It's another. Oh, there's boxes. I want to get a picture by him.
Yeah, it's just a photo op.
Yeah, there's a picture of him holding a vial. He's holding with a. Look, I got it. It's right in here, everybody. The liquid right here is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Look.
Get your hands off that, Tim. I don't want you anywhere near me.
Seriously.
Come on.
He we'll remarked.
Continue. Let's take a quick break. We'll continue with this.
Beating plus up on the rest of us.
Yeah, we're going to beat up on Tim some more with this crappy timeline right after this.
Drew, you made a comment. We were talking about COVID and the lockdowns and what we'll be discussing with Jesse Kelly about an hour from now. About once COVID's done, make no mistake that the leftists are going to attempt to use something else. And it could be this idea coming from ridiculous climate change studies about how we need a lockdown every 2 years for the next decade to curb global warming.
No.
You made the comment that, and welcome back to Twin Cities News Talk, that people like this, right? That they enjoy this.
I think a lot of people do.
Right. Well, this plays into, you know, Sam, you're on number two of your top five this morning. Go ahead and do the short version again.
Yeah, Governor Tim Walz is saying that Minnesota will significantly beat his original timeline for vaccinating seniors, and this is all after he had a big old photo op with a box of Johnson & Johnson vaccines. He said it was better than Christmas.
Shut up. Shut up. It was not. It was not better than Christmas.
Christmas is way better.
Maybe he's had crappy Christmases.
Seriously. Does it get cold every year? I mean, look, and again, it's better than Christmas if getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccines means you stop acting like a dictator.
Right.
Yeah, it's better than Christmas.
That's literally the only metric I care about right now, is giving up emergency powers and getting government out of all of these businesses and letting them open back up and letting life go back to normal. That is the only data point and the only metric that I care about now.
But the point that I wanted to make was there was this ridiculous photo op. And for those that remember, there was a photo op when we first got the vaccine. He's on a loading dock with this big rig opened up in the back. And there's like one box of whatever it was, the Pfizer vaccine. And he's got photos of him and his flannel mask leaning down, staring at it, you know, and all this. So yesterday did the same thing. Same nonsense. They're in some room with a bunch of people and they're staring at the box and the label. And then there's a picture of him holding the vial. The point I wanted to make was this. For too many people, they're all like, oh, that's great. Oh, that's fantastic. And look, to each their own opinion. That's not the point that I'm trying to make. The point that I'm trying to make is it goes back to what Drew was saying. It goes back to this desire that too many people have to be coddled, to have the government serve one thing, and that is to support their mediocre lifestyle. The less that they have to think, the less that they have to do, the better it is for them. And
the strong desire to not take responsibility for your own life.
Right. And listen, the great thing about a free market and capitalism and freedom and liberty is that you can do both, right? We actually have a government that will support your mediocre lifestyle. Yeah. If you don't want to work hard, right, and you lose a job and unemployment, and you want to live on welfare, those things are all available there to you. But the rest of us, no, man, the rest of us want to achieve. The rest of us want to work hard, and we can't. When we have what we're in the middle of right now still in Minnesota with this pandemic.
That's, you know, it's a great, great point. And that's why you've articulated one of the reasons why I consider myself a libertarian and I lean that direction. Because in a libertarian world, if you want to be a socialist, you can go be a socialist. You get enough like-minded people together, you can form a little community and you can have your little socialist utopia. But what you can't do is force it on anyone else. That's the big difference. Live however you want. Do whatever you want. It's fine as long as you're not hurting other people, as long as you're not forcing things on other people, as long as you're not defrauding other people, as long as you're not infringing on their rights to life, liberty, property, happiness through force or fraud. As long as you're not doing that, you can do whatever the hell you want. So if you want to go be a socialist, you should go vote libertarian.
Yeah.
Get as many libertarians as in office as you can, and then find as many little like-minded socialists and form your little community and leave us all the rest the hell alone.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of power in that. And unfortunately, that puts all the power back in the hands of the people, even in the individuals that want to be socialists. And that's the point. It takes the power away from government, and that's not what the left wants.
Yep.
The left wants all the they want to grab all the power because they feel like they know better than you. And
they're
right now, in too many places around the country, that still seems to be the case.
Number three.
The House passed a massive voting rights bill over Republican opposition.
Boo! Boo!
From Care 11.
Boo! Boo!
House Democrats did pass sweeping voting and ethics legislation over unanimous Republican opposition. Advancing
it's a
to the
horrible,
Senate.
Horrible bill.
Yep. Advancing.
John Fund has been covering D.C. for, like, I don't know, 20-something years, been covering, you know, the Capitol, Congress bill. So this is the worst piece of legislation he's ever seen.
Oh, my gosh. It's advancing to the Senate what would be the largest overhaul of the U.S. election law in the last generation, or in at least a generation.
No.
House Resolution 1, which touches on virtually every aspect of the electoral process, was approved on Wednesday night on a near party line 220 to 210 vote. It would restrict partisan gerrymandering of congressional districts, strike down hurdles to voting, and bring transparency to a murky campaign finance system that allows wealthy donors to anonymously bankroll political causes, according to Care 11.
Listen, if you're a fan of the show, again, friend of the show, listen, and generally speaking, like us, and agree for the most part what they had to say, and the fans of the show are complete opposite of that, but still can't quit us.
Fans of the show are the ones that are quickly, angrily tweeting right now.
Yeah. Fans of the show that want to, you know, make the comment that, well, this will just go and make it also better for, and give more Republicans the chance to vote. It's like, no, you're not looking at this through the right lens. You don't want that either. This is not what this does. This acts like we never did anything when it came to voting, and now we're going to completely revamp it and upend it all of a sudden. No, we did make sure prior to all of this that we had a system in place when it comes to voting to make sure that every vote counted, that it was that there was a level of importance placed upon it based on how we would go out and vote. And what the Democrats want to do is they want to undermine all of this. They want to make it as less about the candidates as humanly possible and more about who can out-wrangle, beat the opposition. Not about candidates, not about policies. Nope. Again, it's all about power.
Yep, it's all about just making the process, getting more control over the process by which our elections are conducted. They're going to federalize state elections across the board. That's part of what H.R. 1 does. And they're going to make it easier to do what they did in this last election, which is go out and harvest tons and tons of ballots. No control over the chain of custody over these ballots whatsoever. Nobody has to sign anything or demonstrate who they are in order to vote. It's just going to make it much, much easier to cheat like hell. That's all H.R. 1 is going to do.
It now moves on to the Senate, which is split 50-50 between Republicans and Democrats. On some legislation, it takes only 51 votes to pass, which, of course, Vice President Kamala Harris would be the tiebreaker in that situation. On a deeply divisive bill like this one, they do need 60 votes under the Senate's rules to overcome a Republican filibuster, which is a tally that they are unlikely to reach.
Yeah, please.
Unless they nuke the filibuster.
Yeah, unless they nuke the filibuster. Yeah.
Unless they nuke the filibuster, which is a possibility.
Yeah.
Which is something that, and if this doesn't... If this does get held up in the Senate, hopefully, fingers crossed, if this does indeed get held up in the Senate, doesn't ever make it to Biden's desk, that will be the argument that they need and that they'll use in order to nuke the filibuster.
Yeah.
Number four.
Google is moving ahead with a plan to stop selling ads based on users' browsing history. From ABC News. The tech giant's announcement is a win for advocates of user privacy, but the move is expected to further strengthen the company's stranglehold over the advertising industry. Last January, Google announced that it would be phasing out the use of third-party cookies on its web browser, Chrome. Cookies are code used by web advertisers to track a user's history in order to provide that person with personalized ads. So yesterday, Google said that after Chrome phases out the use of those cookies, it will not build similar processes for advertisers to track internet users. And it was noted in this blog post that the use of cookies has eroded trust with tech companies and digital advertisers.
Why do I meet this with a ton of skepticism?
Because it's Google and you should.
Right?
Yeah.
You look at it on his face and you go, this is good, but what are you up to?
What are you getting instead?
Google, what are you up to?
Hey, Google. Look, I think this gives Google a lot more, and I'm not certainly not an expert in this arena at all, but what this appears to me is that this gives Google more control over those things, and it gives those third-party websites, third-party advertisers less access to that information. So it's just Google keeping it all and not sharing and not letting other entities have the same access to my browsing history or your browsing history as Google does. This is why tech needs to be seriously broken up. It's become way too big. It's become way too powerful. That's an obvious statement, of course, but you know, you can take steps to try to minimize your exposure. Already, you know, you can use different browsers, you can use different search engines. DuckDuckGo is a popular one that promises that they don't harvest and share and collect and save any data.
Well, the thing about it is, again, you got to get in kind of into the specifics here, and with you, I'm not an expert either and haven't spent a ton of time on this, but they're going to stop selling ads based on the user's browser history. So what Drew said, you're right. So think about what that means. Going back to just, again, sort of dovetail and repeat what you said. Google's going to keep all of that. Okay. Well, then the question is, okay, then what is Google going to do with that then? And what arenas, this is where my mind goes. What arenas is now Google planning on entering into that they don't want these other entities to have the access to? They want it for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. That's the part of this where I see if Google starts to position itself, say, like more like an Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. Then now they're like they want why should we sell this off to these other advertisers when we can go and grab onto it? We do it now and it looks like hey everybody, we're protecting you. You don't have to worry about those tailored ads anymore. Yay! It's like no, you're going to use it against me at some point in time to get my money.
Yeah. There was an article that I was looking at the other day that I thought was really interesting, and I think there's some truth to this. And maybe at some point we could spend a little time on it. But I think the dirty little secret is that most people, while they would probably never admit it, really appreciate and like personalized advertising.
Uh-huh.
I really believe that.
Yeah, I know.
I really think that. It's effective, and I don't mind it on a purely commercial level.
Sure.
And you know, you take out the political side of it. Like if Facebook and Google and all these things, if they made a pledge that said, we're done with politics, we're only going to do commercial stuff, we're only going to do retail level things, we're only going to market to you the latest gadget, the latest phone, the latest headphones, video game, whatever it is you're looking for. If they stayed out of the politics arena, I think a lot more people would have less problems with it.
Right.
It's when they get into trying to influence your politics that it gets to be very dangerous and intrusive.
No, I completely and totally agree. I think we like to go and say, oh, it's just, why is it showing me more Star Wars toys? I don't understand. You know, I think we like to go, but at the end of the day, it's like, no, man, it matches your personality. It really, look, and I am with you 100%. There isn't, it's just technology that makes a difference from going to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
The grocery store goes and tailors to you.
They do the same thing.
It's all about the ability that I have to go and make a choice. And if there's an entity out there that wants to tailor things to me, I'm fine with that. But you hit the nail on the head. It's gone too far beyond that. When the politics have gotten into play now, that's where you get into trouble. You don't have the grocery store doing that. You don't have Vegas doing that when you walk through and they, you know, all the sounds of the slot machines and the sense they pump out in there to go, you know, you have a choice. There's no politics involved in all of that.
Exactly.
Number five.
The Democrats have okayed tighter income limits for COVID-19 relief from the Associated Press. President Joe Biden and Democrats did agree yesterday to tighten the upper income limits at which people could qualify for stimulus checks. This is a major concession, they say, to moderates as party leaders prepared to move their $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill through the Senate.
Why are they making concessions?
Why does it matter?
The Democrats control the Senate. The Democrats control the House. The Democrats control the White House. They ran on $2,000 checks. The going out the door the moment Joe Biden got inaugurated. There was a plan in place for $2,000 checks. Now it's $1,400 and not everyone's going to get them. Mm. And less people are going to get them than during the Trump years and the Trump administration. And boy, they really suck.
Yeah, they're awful.
They're really bad at this.
They're super bad.
The COVID-19 relief measure that they're planning to unveil will also retain the $400 weekly emergency jobless benefits that were included in a House-approved version of the legislation. The changes come with Republicans who may unanimously oppose the legislation lashing the bill as an overpriced Democratic wish list that lavishes help on many who don't really need it.
That all checks out.
Pretty much.
Fact check accurate.
As part of the Democrats' legislative thrust on what is Biden's top initial legislative priority, individuals earning up to $75,000 and couples up to $150,000 would get $1,400 checks per person. And the version that the House approved last Saturday would gradually phase down those amounts and reach zero for individuals making $100,000 and couples earning $200,000.
And let this be your scary preview, as we talked about, and we'll get into this with Jesse Kelly at 7:35 this morning, this idea coming from some of these climate studies that we have to lock down like we did every 2 years for a decade to stop global warming and climate change. This is the kind of excuse that they'll give when it comes. Well, you know, government will just cut everybody checks, you know, and we'll make sure we take care of businesses this time, too. You know, we'll make sure. The debt's already bad. I mean, money, what is it good for? It won't matter anymore. By the way, we're going to get into this next hour, a bit of a preview since we're on this. So we're going to focus some time after we talk with Rob Dorf from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus coming up about the Fusion Center and police chiefs and gun sales, about the fact that there is now, even from the left, growing concern over the lack of availability of Joe Biden, how he hasn't addressed Congress yet. Did you hear this yesterday? Jen Psaki said when he will deliver his speech to Congress. So we talked about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't done it yet. And every other president, they were supposed to do it in February. Every other president has done it. She came out yesterday and she said, when it became clear, which it should have been from the beginning, that the American Rescue Plan would take until about hopefully mid-March to get passed and signed into law, we made a decision internally that we weren't going to have the president propose his forward-looking agenda beyond that. So basically what she's saying is Biden's not going to address Congress. Until they get this passed. But it goes beyond that. She said this. He will not deliver his address to Congress until after the bill is signed, until after the checks are going out to Americans, until after the vaccine money is going out, and after the money is going out to schools.
Jeez.
They're making every excuse in the book to delay him having to speak in front of anybody.
Wow. He's not in charge.
Nope.
He's not in charge. I'm more convinced of it than ever.
Yeah.
And especially, we'll play some audio later in the show of yet another incident that happened yesterday that cemented that opinion. Good job, Sam. Stellar top five.
As we mentioned, we are going to talk with Rob Dorf from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus. We're going to talk about this Fusion Center. We also have a listener who was a part of this Fusion Center that offered some insight. And from Channel 5, after Buffalo shooting, police chiefs call for added discretion on gun permits.